you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, we are still in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, beginning today in verse 21 and reading through the end of the chapter. We've said before that Mark's gospel is the shortest of the gospels and takes us on a really quick look at the ministry of Jesus. And so we will see that happening here in the second half of the chapter as he tells story after story after story after story, very briefly, just giving us glimpses of Jesus' life and work. Mark chapter 21, chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. This is God's word. "They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, 'What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' 'Be quiet,' Jesus said sternly. 'Come out of him.' The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, 'What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him.' News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone is looking for you.' Jesus replied, 'Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come.' So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said. 'Be clean.' Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. 'See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them.' Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Again, little short glimpses of Jesus' life and work. The first Jesus goes into a synagogue. Now, that's not remarkable. But while he's there, his teaching is remarkable because instead of doing what the scholars of the day and the rabbis, the teachers did, and that is to quote one another and to say, well, so-and-so says this and so says that, Jesus simply proclaimed the truth with authority. He wasn't interested in reciting the opinions of others. He was declaring the very word of God. And the people were amazed at his teaching because they recognized he spoke as one who had authority. The phrase that Mark uses here is the same phrase that Matthew uses at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 when he says everyone was amazed because he spoke with authority, not as the teachers of the law. Jesus was teaching in a way that people were not used to hearing. He didn't say, well, perhaps this could mean this or perhaps it could mean that. And no, Jesus said, this is the way it is. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you've heard that you're not supposed to murder. But I tell you, if you hate someone, you're a murderer at heart. Wow! Jesus knew the law. Jesus proclaimed the law, but Jesus applied the law and helped the people understand what all of us must come to know, and that is we have sinned and we need a Savior. So Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. They're very impressed with his teaching, and suddenly there's a disruption, and it's not a little child. It's a full-grown adult who is possessed in the NIV, in the literal, it's just he had an unclean spirit. The NIV translators decided to say he was possessed by an evil spirit because that's sure the way it seems. This spirit lived within him because Jesus cast it out of him. And it was calling the shots. The man said and did what he was motivated to do by that evil spirit. And this was a very dramatic outburst, and the people didn't wonder, gee, I wonder what that is. No, the people then knew that these spirits are real. How many of you have ever watched a football game? Let me see your hands. Okay. Imagine if one of the teams, the opponent, was invisible. Would that make it more difficult? Do you suppose your team would be in trouble? You and I live in a world where there are invisible forces doing visible damage to people's lives. The scriptures deal with that very matter-of-factly. You and I live in a world where evil is rampant. Radical evil is rampant. And if we don't recognize that there are unseen forces that the Bible tells us about, there's going to be a whole lot of stuff going on that just isn't going to make sense to us. How could that happen? Why is he doing that? What's going on? Well, try reading what God says about the subject in the Old and New Testament, because demons were in play in the Old Testament as well. The difference in the New Testament is that the Lord of glory comes on the scene and starts not only to expose a reality the people believed in, but he begins to deal with it with authority. And so, when this demoniac cries out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus didn't say, wow, well, he's right, actually. Okay, this is great. Most of these folks don't really recognize who I am, but go ahead, say more. He doesn't do that. What was the first act of exercising dominion that Adam performed in the garden? What was the first thing? What? Naming. He named the animals. Innately, we seek to exercise authority to get some control in a situation by naming things. Scientists name things they see in the sky and that they see under a microscope. Doctors come up with names for viruses, for syndromes, for afflictions of various kinds. It doesn't cure the problem. It simply gives a sense of control. Okay. Well, I know what this is. Okay. The demons want to name Jesus. They want to say who he is because they're hoping for some leverage. You understand? That's the purpose. That's why this whole thing of naming gets real significant in the New Testament when folks are dealing with demons. But they couldn't get any leverage over Jesus because Jesus Christ is Lord. And you and I need to recognize we may not be able to see the other team on the football field, but we better know they're there and we better understand what Scripture says about how they operate. And we better know how to stand against them with our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So, Jesus cast the spirit out of the man, and it shook him violently, but it came out. You know why? It didn't have a choice. It didn't have a choice. Because Jesus Christ is Lord.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. And Simon's mother-in-law, now this is Peter, remember, Peter was a married man. That's something that not everyone recognizes. But Peter was a married man. We know that because his mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up, and the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Now that's all he says. Again, Mark compresses things. If you want a little more detail, you can look in Luke chapter 4, where Luke mentions that when Jesus went in to help her up, it says Jesus rebuked the fever. This is significant to me, A, because Luke is a physician, he's a doctor, and so he paid attention. He wrote in more detail about a lot of Jesus' healings. But secondly, it is significant to me because Jesus didn't just take her hand and help her up. He certainly did that. And the fever did leave her. But Jesus spoke to the fever and rebuked it. Now, I believe that's significant because of what else we read here. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Now again, this naming thing, Jesus was not only trying to keep the crowds from getting out of control as they do by the end of the chapter, but the naming thing is significant, okay? I don't know if your house was like mine, but I knew I needed to come if they said, Jimmy, come here, okay? That was addressed to me and I needed to respond. If I did not respond immediately, what I might hear and I would regret was, James Paul Wood, get in here. What was happening? They knew who I was. They called me by my name, my full name. And at that point, I was late. All right? Again, authority is exercised through naming. Now, not all illness is demonic. But some of it is. The scriptures make that clear. We find another story where a woman has been bent over for years, and Jesus commanded the spirit to leave and healed her and said she had been bound by Satan all those years. Some sickness is directly caused by evil forces, by demonic spirits. And I'm not making that up, and I didn't get it off of some TV program. That's what the Bible says. Furthermore, there are people who are physically in good shape, but spiritually very demonized. Furthermore, demons will exploit physical illness. And so you may not have a problem caused by demons, but boy, are the demons going to make the most of it. If we just behave, practically speaking, as if we are atheists who believe only in a materialistic universe, then we are refusing to believe God's word. We need to recognize the reality of the demonic, not so that we will go around seeing demons behind every bush, and I wonder if that was caused by the devil, but so that we will recognize how marvelous it is that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, that evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed, and he drove out many demons, and he healed many who had various diseases. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, verse 35, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, if Jesus, who is God incarnate, born of a virgin, needed to get up early in the morning and go off to be alone with the Father and pray, it's because he was utterly dependent upon the Father. What does that tell us? We are in a spiritual war. And if we're going to stand against them, we need to put on the whole armor of God. And that means we need to remember that we are utterly dependent on him and be obedient to him. Because Jesus only did what the Father told him to do, only said what the Father told him to say. That's why he had perfect authority to deal with the demonic, to heal those who were sick, to speak with authority. But we not only see Jesus' authority and his dependence on and obedience to the Father, we also see his compassion. In this last vignette, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion. Jesus didn't just have a little. He was filled with compassion. And he reached out his hand and touched the man. You did not touch a leper. Leprosy made people untouchable. They had to stay at a distance. They lived with other lepers. They couldn't be with their family. They couldn't stay in their own home. The closest thing that would help some of us try to imagine what that would look like was back during COVID. when grandparents were dying in nursing homes and they couldn't see their spouse and they couldn't see their kids. And people had to stand outside the window to say goodbye. That's as close as most of us are likely to come to what was a daily occurrence in Jesus' time. People who'd been isolated because they had leprosy. Jesus touched him. Why? Because he was filled with compassion. And he did what the Father told him to do. And he not only healed the man, but that healing began with a touch. He touched that man. And he said, I'm willing. Be clean. Again, he spoke with authority. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he was cured. Jesus commanded the sickness to leave. Well, I thought this was a physical problem. It was. But our physical universe has a spiritual dimension and they are not disconnected. And in this situation, Jesus said, be clean. And boom, he was totally cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone. But go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded. God had outlined in the Old Testament what they were to do, including the separation in order to stop contagion. But now, Jesus says, see to it, strongly commanding him, see to it that you do not tell this to anyone. And instead, the man went out and told everybody. What does that tell us? Well, on the one hand, we see Jesus' compassion. On the other hand, we see how a recipient of Jesus' compassion and healing is not as obedient as the demons, not as obedient as the sicknesses, and certainly not as obedient as Jesus. And the consequence was he thought he was doing a favor. He's spreading the good news. It was not helpful, and it made it more difficult for Jesus to help people. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. He still went into towns, but he had to do it undercover. He stayed outside in lonely places. And yet people still came to him from everywhere. Jesus says, don't just call me Lord. Obey what I command. Do what I say. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's not enough to verbally say Jesus is Lord. The demons knew who he was. The question is, will you surrender your life to him? Are you still trying to run your own show? Have it your way? Call on God to come along and give you an assist? Or do you realize, I was dead? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you know that you need a Savior, I want to tell you, Jesus came to save sinners. Repent and believe the good news.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.